Hi, how are you? This is Paul from The Gamer Show. Unfortunately, something went awry with our audio setup. I assure prior to us recording, everything was okay. We tested it and everything was fine. And after the recording, well, frankly, it sounds a bit crap. It's particularly my microphone and Sam's microphone. I mean, you can still kind of hear what's happening. I'm just apologising to you that it sounds a bit rubbish. That's pretty much it. We'll fix it before the next show. Okay. Enjoy anyway if you can. Sorry.
Bandwidth and hosting for the British Tech Network is provided by UK2.net. Innovative, affordable, and reliable web hosting.
It's the Gamer Show on the British Tech Network.
We started?
Yeah, we started. Here we go. We're in. How are you?
So he said, why don't you try that one on a capybara? And that was the first time I lost my virginity.
How'd you make a dog stop humping your leg? Pick him up and suck his cock.
Tried and tested methods, eh? Tried and tested. They always are the best.
Yeah. How are you two?
What?
How are you two?
Since when do you care?
You're not bleeping cock.
We decided we weren't doing that. Fairly sure that
dick that you have to take care of.
I
think we've got three sort of main words and words we need.
That's
to
true.
Or phrases.
Right.
Or
Dick
subjects.
And Harry.
How are you guys?
Fine and dandy.
Hopefully we don't sound robotic or weird.
Yeah, something weird was happening with the audio setup before this, but I think we've got it sorted out.
I suspect it's going to be the worst ever.
If you have a problem with it, please write in and get knotted.
Yeah. We are grand, even though sandwiches are not answering my question. I'm fine. we've had some feedback around the three in a bed. We've had games.
That is what we're calling that.
I've decided.
Right.
Really?
Unless you guys can come up with something better.
It's the least exciting threesome I could even imagine. And I can imagine some pretty unexciting sex.
So can Amy.
She doesn't have to use her imagination.
It's a real life nightmare. Yep.
Oh, well, too close to the truth there, I think.
She should ask him to spice up and dress up. He came back as a postman.
Sure, I like postman.
It's a bit more effort than I'm willing to put on, actually.
Yeah.
Oh, well.
you were just carrying the mail.
Just put my jacket on.
Right, okay. There's some news and junk and stuff.
No, you were talking about feedback.
We had some. Thank you very much for those of you that contacted us with some game recommendations. We have quite a big list now, actually. A lot of you didn't really heed Sam's instructions and give us games for under £5. So there's a few.
Tight and cheap.
Dude, I said under four.
But what I'm thinking I might do is we have got a couple of recommendations for free games. So if we do a couple of weeks of free games, that sort of means that we can save up those 2 weeks, £3. And that means we could do a £10 game now and again as well.
Nah, it's got to be under the price of a 10 pack of fags.
How much is a 10 pack of fags these days?
It's like £4.
Really?
Yeah, £3.70 or something like that.
Well, we haven't mentioned biscuits for a little while.
Yeah, we ate them all.
Are they finished? Yeah, we've got fig rolls tonight.
Well, we were waiting for you to set up.
Yeah, sorry, as I say. Apologies if this is sounding a little bit dodgy. The test before we started recording, I think we fixed the problem, but you never know with these things. So. Audio's hard, and sandwiches don't care.
We're flaccid.
Connect 2 is coming to the PC. So the Connect 2 is obviously the Connect that came with the Xbox One. It's different and stuff. It's coming out for Windows, basically. £159 or $199 launches on the 15th of July, which is tomorrow, I think, actually.
What operating systems does it work with? I didn't bother reading that.
Wholly
uninteresting.
I read the whole article and it didn't mention anything other than Windows, so I can only assume it works with Windows.
Yeah, but I mean what iterations? Assumption. I'm guessing.
Oh, I didn't go into that. Windows 8. The point. Yeah, I never read about that. It doesn't say. I mean, it talks about it needs to be with Windows Software Development Kit 2.0. And will only work with applications developed for Kinect with Windows version 2. Sorry, I thought I had just read what I said there. So in other words, this Kinect won't actually work with games that have been written for the earlier Kinect for Windows. But it comes out tomorrow. So basically, when you listen to this show, it'll already be out. So, grand.
It'll be quite interesting what people can actually come up with, because some of the most interesting original Kinect things were done on the PC by the mod community, so
yeah,
it'd be interesting to see what they can do with the more powerful kit.
I had very little interest in picking up the original Kinect with Windows, and there's nothing about this one, because in actual fact I've unplugged my Kinect from my Xbox One because I didn't use it. I'd used it for like watch TV and stuff like that, but I quite often
used the voice features in it, but the actual camera I've probably never used at all.
Yeah,
was it our friend from the future who put you off by boasting about how fantastic it is in the States?
Our friend from the future. I think it was more a case of I didn't play any games with it, and I moved up to my office now so that I would use it more, and I have started using it more, but there's nothing really that I want to play with Kinect. The only game that had anything to do with Kinect was Zoo Tycoon, which Morgan played, and she kind of got a bit bored of that because it was a bit rubbish.
I use it for the voice controls, but not really with a game. It's just kind of with the system in general. For recording stuff or jumping to certain things a lot faster rather than going through a menu. It's quite handy that for that. But yeah, but I'm sure the One Guide is now available to use in the UK.
I've not actually used it.
My Freeview is an internal one with TV, which won't work. It's either like a separate box or apparently it's One Guide is now compatible with working. It's not as fully fledged as what the Americans have got, but it's better than what it was here at release. Yeah. Anyway,
okay, cool. Resolution Gate, which is the first time I'd heard it called this, but this is the thing whereby the same game is coming out on both Xbox One and PlayStation 4, and the frame rate and the general output of the graphics is generally
not so much the frame rate, but the resolution.
Yeah, I think there is mention of frame rate in a couple of games, I seem to remember. Yeah. But you're right. It is the resolution is the big deal, hence Resolution Gate. Xbox UK marketing boss Harvey Eagle told CVG that he thinks it's all a perception, and it's only if you're in a scenario where you're sitting two side by side and you're really, really paying attention on a 60-inch telly and stuff like that. Which, I don't know about you guys, but I kind of see his point.
I'm kind of down with that. I think people just get a bit silly about things.
Yeah, it's like, you'd always want something to be, at least it's 1080p, but if the resolution's slightly lower, it doesn't really matter. Like, well, I recently played Rise, and the graphics I came are absolutely gorgeous, but it's 900p, and to be honest, It looks 1080p. It still looks absolutely fantastic. And as I say, if you had like a game on the PS4, it was 1080p, and the same game on Xbox One, which was 900 or 720, you might know 720 usually gets upscaled, but unless you've got side by side, and you could probably see in the distance slight things, but if you do it side by side, it's not. You're not going to really notice it too much.
And really, to be honest, if you have two 60-inch tellies with an Xbox One plugged into one and a PS4 plugged into the other, frankly, you've got too much time and money on your hands for to be doing that comparison.
You've got other issues.
Yeah, exactly. So, no. Are you falling asleep in between saying things? Because it sounds like you're snoring on the track.
No?
It's just heavy breathing. His nose is angry.
Sorry, I dropped my pen. he also went on to say an updated console operating system will give developers more GPU resources, which I thought was an interesting
statement to put in the end. I can only assume this is maybe an update coming relating to the Kinect, because presumably some GPU resources go to powering the Kinect, so if we're no longer needing the Kinect, it can give some of that available.
If you read that article at the end, it does say that it shuts out the Kinect.
Oh, right. Okay.
It's basically the latest development.
I skimmed it.
Things. The developers have now got access, whether or not, if they don't use Kinect, they can use that 10% of the GPU, which is reserved for Kinect, they've got access to that.
All right, okay, cool. Oh, well.
So it's like, well, we don't really use the graphic capabilities of Kinect, we may as well just take the GPU power and use it for our actual game.
That makes sense. Oh, well, cool. So we'll see what comes out of that one, if they're going to actually do anything more with that. But I think we broadly are all in agreement that it really doesn't matter. I know we've talked about it a couple of times, but it really doesn't matter. Xbox One.
Ideal world, 1080p, 6 frames a second would be the most ideal, but if it's not far off that,
cheers.
And good gameplay,
cheers.
Matters.
Cheers. Doesn't really matter. Shut up.
Xbox One adds game trials. Now, this is something that was already available in the 360 and has been available for some time. But the idea behind this is basically that it's coming to the Xbox One. So you're basically able to download the game for free, and then when you've decided that you want to buy it, presumably after a time limit defined by the developer, you just unlock the full game. It's a little bit of a non-news story, but I actually was... What I put this in for is because I was quite shocked that Xbox One didn't have this already. I didn't know that this wasn't available.
You can do it on the 360. I don't know if you can do it with every game. It's only some games, is it? I'm not sure.
Yeah, well, I mean, that was the same with the 360, but it was kind of more bigger kind of titles.
That's what I mean anyway. But yeah, there's a few things the 360 can do now that it didn't release, whatnot, but the Xbox, you think once you jump at the next gen, that these consoles should be doing what the previous gen should be doing now.
Plus,
maybe it's once again a sign that the Xbox One and PS4 weren't quite ready when they came.
But they had to get them out to market, and it's all kind of groovy now. I know this is some news that Sam was really excited for, but a limited edition Frozen PS4 has been released in Japan. So Frozen is that Disney movie that came out around Christmas time last year.
Is it any good, Sam?
What?
Frozen is very good.
Sorry.
It's a very good movie.
I kind of lose it a little bit post-orgasm. I don't know what you're talking about. That sentence just blew me away. Wow. No, I haven't seen it yet.
The reason for this is because Japanese sales of the PlayStation 4 have been slow compared to North America and Europe. And so they've released this limited edition Frozen PS4, which will come out on July 16th, so on Wednesday, for 42,980 yen, I think that is, which is roughly $425 or 310 euros, which is probably about 300 quid. This is an interesting move. And sort of, I don't think PlayStation... So the way this article was read was purely that this is being released because of these really slow numbers in Japan. Do you really think PlayStation are that bothered that they do a gimmick like this? Because they're kicking arse everywhere else. Okay, Japan, it's been slow, but...
Yeah. Is Japan not normally there? Has it not been a market that has always been there?
Yeah, Japan's always... I mean, they still sell PS2s in Japan.
Yeah, their market's changing. They're definitely a market. It's all about handhelds now rather than its home consoles. They're very, very much... It's a Vita, I think, has done not too bad with it, but it's 3DS and things like that have done very well in Japan. Like I say, they're very much handheld. And then big sort of consoles at their TVs, they just seem to have went off them.
All right. Why would having the characters from Frozen on the side of a PlayStation help that? You seem totally disinterested in the story, Chiz.
Yeah, pretty much. It's,
it's a bit of a non-starter, really.
Yeah, it's like a PS4 with Frozen stuff plastered on it. I can't... Well, who knows? The Japanese are an odd bunch, and who knows? Who knows, this might actually go down a treat.
It's in gold outline with stars on it.
Smashing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right, okay.
One way you can prove that is with fire.
The Hello Games co-founder Sean Murray of No Man's Sky was speaking on a video interview with GameSpot. And a few things came out of it. One of the main things was that it will contain some kind of multiplayer experience. It's a little bit more traditional. But other things came out of the interview to basically say that they don't see this as being a release and walk away type game. They plan to continue developing it following the game's release. They were not prepared to categorize it in any way, shape or form because they felt that the player could play it as ever, however they want to play it. So it was a quote from him. We don't want to prescribe what people do. So we're not going to say this game is about discovering creatures or killing dinosaurs or flying a ship or becoming a fighter or a pirate or a bounty hunter. The weapons can be whatever you want as well. So you'll have, you'll be able to upgrade them like a multi-tool. So if you want to go and go mining, then you upgrade your weapon to be more mining, or you want to do attacking, it's more killing and so on and so forth.
That's one of the things that when I listened to the interview, I quite liked this, is like, he said whenever he's playing games set in the future, they've all got a common theme. You've always got an assault rifle.
Yeah.
Well, he was saying, well, the weapons in this will be actually tailored by you. So you start like with a tool, and then that tool, you'll upgrade that tool in any way you want, depending on what you want to do. So you could use it for an offensive weapon, or use it for scanning, or use it for anything. But you actually define what it does.
Okay. I want to play that game as a badger who defends woodland creatures from evil stoats, and I want to use a bow and arrow. Is that possible?
Yes.
Sweet. I'm in.
Is The Rock doing a Hercules film?
Yeah, The Rock is doing a Hercules film.
Yep. Why have you got that playing?
Because I opened up the article on CVG about No Man's Sky, it happened to be playing this trailer for Hercules.
You do have Adblock.
I do, but I have... Quidco doesn't work with Adblock, so every now and again I have to switch it back on if I'm doing a Quidco thing, and I bought something from Quidco before we started recording.
Okay.
Yeah.
Anyway, moving on. but yeah, actually, this is one of the games I'm really looking forward to. It probably was, even though I think it was last year's
E3. It was E3 last year, we got a little sneak.
When they first revealed it.
No, it was EGX, actually, that they talked about. Anyway,
I think it was
E3.
But anyway, it was last year the most interesting game that was shown off, and this year it's still the most interesting game that was shown off, I think.
Yeah, it's definitely actually, looking...
It's a bit different and interesting.
It's October, isn't it? It's coming out, isn't it? Something like that.
There's no set release date yet.
Oh, right, okay. Oh, I've mixed that up with something else. Oh, that was October. Anyway, never mind. Cliff Polinsky, so after last show we mentioned that he was coming out of retirement of an yet-to-be-confirmed game, and he went on to Reddit Ask Me Anything last week and gave us a little bit more detail. So it was last Monday, so a week ago tonight. He has founded a studio called Boss Key Productions, and their debut product is going to be a game codenamed Blue Streak. It's going to be freeware, or free to play.
Does it also star Martin Lawrence?
He was in a film called Blue Streak, wasn't he? Yeah.
Version. Well, actually, a film version, that would be impressive as well, because, you know, it basically wasn't.
A film.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so it'll be a free-to-play sci-fi PC arena shooter. So it'll be PC only to begin with. They did kind of hint that they would be releasing it on other platforms and things at a later date. It's going to be a while before release, because apparently Boss Key only just got offices. They're partnering up with a South Korean developer called Nexon. They currently have only hired about a dozen people, but plan to only get to about 70 total. So,
It sounds like it's going to be very much along the Unreal Tournament sort of theme, which he was involved in making.
Right, okay.
And I think he was basically saying he was going back to his roots or something like that, but I think it'll be a game similar to what Unreal Tournament was, with obviously with a twist or something with new ideas in it as well.
Yeah, I mean, it's going to be free to play, so presumably there'll be some kind of freemium element to it where you have to buy crap and things like that.
I wonder if it'll actually compete with his... Because I'm sure... it's Epic are releasing the original Unreal Tournament games as a free play as well.
Right, okay. It's going to use the Unreal...
Would anyone here be interested in playing that?
I was never much of a fan of it. It does have a following. There's still a lot of...
Even Unreal? Unreal.
Yeah.
This new game.
Those sort of arena shooters, but... They never really...
You know,
I could dabbled with them, but I was never a massive fan.
I really struggle with this free-to-play thing because...
It's a lie and it doesn't exist.
Well, it doesn't exist. Freemium is probably more the accurate one, but I just wonder, if I'm going to buy a game, I'd far prefer for somebody to give me a price tag of like 15, 20 quid, and I don't... what really worries me about this is I'm going to buy this, and then every 5 minutes it's going to pop up and go, do you want to upgrade your gun? It'll cost you a fiver. Yeah. And by the end of it, you've paid 100 quid for this game or something.
If you hold off that you're paying, then you just get killed by people who have been paying.
Yeah, exactly.
Because it's like, how the hell has he got a gun that kills everyone instantly?
Yeah. You're in a scenario where people who are willing to just shell out tons of money end up with all the awesomeness. Kind of like real life. But
prayer.
And this wonderful analogy involving prostitutes in my head. So you go out and all you're looking for is a cheap tart and you get one, and then about 5 minutes into kind of conversing with her, she then offers you her mate and so on and so on.
She just passes her to you. Yeah. Okay. NVIDIA readies a new Android PC gaming machine. Now, this isn't the Shield, is it, Chesley? You put this article in.
No, this wasn't me.
No.
Oh, was it Sam? Sorry.
Yep.
Wow, you read the show notes. Good for you. The Shield.
We already knew that. I just told you something about the show notes before.
I'm sure we have this conversation every week.
Yeah, we do. The Shield got released at E3 last year, didn't it? So is this a kind of a newer version because the Shield's been so successful?
It seems to be. And if you flick through, it apparently can utilize your PC's processing power to boost its own.
Cool.
Which sounds quite good.
Yeah.
So, obviously, you have to own a PC.
I think it's because the Shield didn't particularly do very well.
No, I didn't.
And
did you play with one?
No.
Or even see one?
I've never even seen one.
No.
But this, I don't know. I don't think this is going to work either. It's just you need a good PC with one of the latest its GPUs for it to probably work anyway with its game stream.
My gut instinct on this is that I'd probably still rather play it on the big screen that I have connected to my PC.
Yeah,
I'm the same.
But I thought I'd pop it in.
I'm sure that there will be an audience for it, but whether or not it's actually got a big enough audience where they'll make money from it, I doubt.
Also, it's NVIDIA, so...
Yeah, I mean, the one kind of small thing about this is the ability to play Android games. And I go back to my rant, which Chiz, I know, believes differently about. But this adds a games console element to Android devices. So this allows you to use physical buttons and things like that on a...
I've yet to play a console or see a console, anything that's Android-based that is actually, I'd call, a good games console.
Yeah,
Well,
the one that we've got, the one that we have is the Gamer Show one, which is currently holding Sam's living room door open.
And scratching his dog.
And scratching his dog. It was rubbish. I mean, we've not actually fired out for a little while, so there's a chance that there's some decent games come out for it.
Should we give it a go?
Well, you got given it for that reason, like, at least 6 months ago.
Yeah, someone else's turn now.
You actually have the internet connection to be able to download the games, though.
Yeah.
In 2 weeks, you can have it. You'll have even faster.
But I've already had it. It's mine. I bought it.
Well,
I don't want it anymore. Okay,
please.
Yes. If you want ideas to sell your console, Ouya, why not hire these two and just have this conversation as the advert? No, I don't want it.
Oh dear. And now for our next sponsor, Ouya. Ouya make this games console. Homefront, the revolution. So this article in here, Chiz, I'm assuming this was you, Chiz.
Yeah.
So the article is about a game director reportedly resigning. But you were actually saying it was based on the kind of trailers and things like that. It was looking quite promising.
This game, I think me and Sam both thought this looked really promising and very pretty graphics using Crytek's engine, but I think in the last podcast you mentioned Crytek going through a few financial problems or something that they denied, but there was reports of developers at the Homefront studio not being paid, and now the lead director or whatever you call him, the head guy who's obviously leading this project has resigned.
Hasset Zala?
I can't even see his name,
Phillips, okay. So he resigned from his position at Crytek UK, according to multiple Kotaku sources. He's also the franchise director for the free-to-play arm of Crytek as well.
But yeah, so things not looking good for at least Crytek, well, for Crytek in general, but definitely for Crytek UK and for this game, which doesn't sound good. Hopefully,
it's a shame.
Hopefully the game was far in development, so when somebody with money picks it up, it can be saved. But it's not looking good.
No.
But it was just disappointing because this game looked great. And I'm getting tired of good-looking games just dying before they come out. Because we've had this, we had that Star Wars 1888.
Yep.
And Prey 2 as well died.
No, 1313.
1313, that was it.
Yeah, 1313 didn't die, though. 1313 was canned.
But yeah, it was killed.
Yeah.
Which, yeah, well
slightly different circumstances, but I see your point.
It killed and died.
Well, they should have.
Finally in the news this
Mickey
week,
Mickey Mouse stabbed it.
Mickey Mouse, when he has a wee schwal of the Bucky, is mental. Honestly, like Minnie, you should see her. It, like black eyes, bloody nose. He is brutal.
He's a
monster.
When he's on the juice, he's a.
Yep. I'm not sure if that word should stay in.
in my world, just an angry person.
Right.
Okay, yeah, we'll get rid of that word. Alien Isolation, did you notice that I got rid of the... No, I'm not going to start that. No.
You're going to bring something up during this podcast that we're going to have to remove again.
Alien Isolation pre-ordered DLC available to all at a later date.
Yeah. I tell you, I don't know if you guys this, but this was basically this DLC. It's basically two levels that are like taken from the original Alien film.
Yeah.
So, and it's got the original cast coming back to voice their parts and stuff. And for DLC, I think this sounds like a cool idea, something I'd want to play if they get right. And well, they get so far, everything I've seen, this game looks fantastic.
Yeah.
And all the reports of actual games hands on, which it was Clone Marines didn't have. And when the people did get their hands on it, we went, yeah, it's crap. This, everyone's report back saying it's absolutely brilliant. And apparently with Project More, with a VR headset, it's truly pants, wetting, tearingly, fangly, horrific. And
how can you get a VR headset? Okay. Or a Morpheus?
That or...
Oculus Rift.
But they had the demo of that at E3, but apparently it was only a prototype. It's, they're not actually proper in developing that yet, but they might do it later.
Okay, cool.
But but what annoys me is like there's basically two levels of this, and they're restricted to what retailer you buy from. So it's like you buy from one retailer, you get this level. You buy from this a different retailer, you get that level.
But that's only day one. At a later date, it'll be completely free. I think
they've not even mentioned that at your point. Day one DLC or pre-order DLC, you usually have to pay for afterwards.
Is that not in the title there? Alien Isolation pre-order DLC available to all
at a later date. This happens a lot with. It's a pre-order bonus. It's like, yeah, if you pre-order, you get this bonus. And at the release, if somebody goes into the shop and buys it, it's not pre-order. They do all the DLC, but that'll become available to download at a later date.
Yeah.
But you'll be charged for it.
Yeah. Yeah.
Are you happy, Sam? Do you understand me?
I do. The thing that annoys me about that is you shouldn't be planning DLC when you're setting up a game.
That's a fair point.
I think that pisses me off. There's nothing wrong with setting up a thing, but
it's dirty. It's a dirty trick.
No.
If you've made it they should go in with the sodding game.
No, but there's a difference between planning and making it. If you planned the DLC, like there was Skyrim, it was DLC planned, but hadn't actually started making it until after the game was out. That's fair enough.
Well, they've already filmed this. You said they got the cast.
No. God's sake, Sam, you're totally missing my point. But day one DLC, yes, it sucks absolute ass. This was the point I'm trying to make. And yes, everyone should have it. What's pissing me off even more is the fact that you have to go to a specific retailer to get a certain DLC. You can't have them both, no matter where you buy it. So it's like restricted. You have to go to this retailer. That this stuff needs to die and die now. I've got nothing. It's day one. As you say, all day one DLC should be on disc anyway. It doesn't matter. It shouldn't even be DLC day one.
Yep.
If you've got DLC coming out a later date, if it's planned, fair enough. But if it's not made or in development or ready on release, fair enough, release it later on. But if it's ready when the games come out, it should be there.
But by definition, shouldn't DLC not be on a disc? Because then it's downloadable content, so why?
Well,
Day one DLC should not exist.
Yeah. So you should never... But that's what I'm agreeing with you. So by definition, DLC
Yeah, but I don't know where by agreeing with him before.
Yeah, but if DLC is made after the game's out, how can it exist on the disc if the game's already out?
The anger is coming, Paul. Point. Paul. No. Paul, the anger's coming. Watch out.
No, I'm agreeing with you.
No, you're being a prick now.
No, I'm agreeing with you. I'm saying that you're quite right. If they haven't made it, it can't be on the disc.
What are we arguing about then?
I wasn't arguing about anything. Jeez. Okay, we'll move on.
You're asking questions.
No. I was agreeing with you. I was backing your point up by saying that you can't get DLC on a disc because DLC is downloadable content. So why would it be in a disc? I was agreeing with you.
And here's some words from our sponsors.
If you were.
Jesus, I need diagrams for these people.
We were agreeing with you.
That'll be a misunderstanding.
No, we were saying the same thing, just in a different way.
Guys, I call it doing this show for this because it means you always have recorded evidence. So.
Yeah, prove that you'd be nobs.
If you work within an IT in a large company, they can help you. The network union can help you with BT, MPLS, WAN, SIP, and Ethernet connectivity. They're awesome guys. Whether you're new to BT or an existing BT client, you can choose to engage BT via network union. Existing clients, nothing changes. Same contracts and support, but you can change your account management to network union, resign your contract with a different area of BT. If you're an SME in business broadband, they can check for fibre upgrades, call packages, even BT offers 365 and everything everywhere mobile. Bundled together for savings, are happy to deal with new inquiries. Now, at this point, normally our US listeners switch off, but fear no more. Network Union are agents from Magistrate, who are HQ'd in Dallas. Magistrate have a fantastic global MPLS WAN network, and any IT managers out there in the US using MPLS should also hit Network Union up using the sponsor page on the British Tech Network, because they can help you put you in touch with some fantastic resources. So please head on over to thebritishtechnetwork.com, click on the sponsors link, and use the click through on there to the Network Union, just so that they know that we sent you. We've been assured that any information you give them, like email addresses or phone numbers or anything like that, will purely be used to contact you to chat about anything that can help you with. They won't sell that information on to third parties or anything like that, so don't worry about it. They're absolutely awesome. They support British Tech Network. They support our Patreon as well. They chuck $85 a month in there for us, which is really, really good of them. Great guys over there. Please support them. Is everybody calm now? Good, we're all calm. Good. I'm not gonna
punch you now, though.
Preview. I think, Chiz, you mentioned this in the E3 show, and I hadn't actually noticed it, and I sort of forgot about it, because I think you were talking about it with Streak or somebody, I can't remember. But one of the guys on Skype were very into it as well. Cuphead. I think you mentioned it, because it's got a sort of 1940s cartoon sort of theme about it, and I was watching a couple of videos about it today, and it looks really cool. I can't wait for that. That looks pretty awesome. It's going to be out in October. At the moment, there's only kind of two trailers. It's quite clear it's going to be a platform and sort of 1940s Mickey Mouse style, where the characters kind of bounce up and down.
Platformer, sort of shooter co-op.
Yeah, and it looks like sort of maybe a puzzle element to it as well. But, I mean, they're not releasing anything. If you go to Cuphead... I think it's Cuphead. Cupheadgame.com. I was going to say Cuphead.com. Cupheadgame.com. And all it says is coming to 2015. It's Steam and Xbox One. There's no further information there.
I assume it'll be a later date on the PS4. They probably got a Xbox first exclusive, much like they've got with It's No Man's Sky as well.
Right, okay, not
on the PS4, that is, but it'll come to the Xbox One as well, a later date.
But yeah, I mean, it looks really cool. The little character Cuphead is essentially a coffee cup that looks like milk or something like that inside the cup. When he runs about, the milk kind of splashes about and stuff like that. But
what was the name of the second card you play? You play as, like, obviously your
There was a second character in the demo, but
was it just Cuphead and Mughead, or
I can't recall.
I think it's Mug something.
It's all sounding a bit sleazy, to be honest.
What do you mean?
He runs around sloshing milk.
Oh, come on. This is the wrong trailer. Sorry. I got in a YouTube rabbit hole when I was watching these videos before, and I ended up watching a whole bunch of game trailers. So there's a red character and a blue character. Red character's Cuphead. I just played just now. But it looks pretty cool. It's not October. What game is it that I've seen recently that's coming out in October? It's Shadow of Mordor.
Mugman, here we go.
Mugman, right. Shadow of Mordor is coming out in October, because I was watching that trailer earlier on. It just looks like a kind of a basic platformer, but I think the graphics look beautiful. It's totally kind of 1940s kind of colour cartoon style.
It is.
It's
pretty awesome.
Yeah.
I think, and part of it will make it quite creepy as well, because something creepy about those cartoons.
Yeah, totally sinister. So yeah, I'm looking forward to that. Coming 2015. The website, as I say, cuphead.com, cupheadgame.com, sorry. And even all the graphics on the website have been given a sort of a 1950s sort of slightly out of phase look about them. Even the text, the Xbox One logo and stuff like that. It's pretty cool. I quite like that. Sam, what's your looking forward to game this week?
I can't remember what it's called.
You put Dying Light.
Dying Light. Yeah, I thought that looked pretty cool. It's like... it's supposed to be very open. In fact, it's supposed to be entirely open. It's a bit of kind of running around doing the... What's the thing that sounds like a duffel coat jacket name? Parker.
A fluffle coat.
Parker.
Parkour.
Parkour.
That's it.
Wow. Right, okay, carry on.
That's how my brain works. yeah, so you run around doing that, you're jumping over stuff, jumping off buildings, going mental, and yeah, there's zombies everywhere. And you start off in the daylight, and because the zombies are really slow during the day, and you can just kind of dodge them. And then inevitably it gets dark before you actually get back to your kind of home base. And... yeah, the zombies go crazy at night time.
Wow.
Looked pretty cool, I thought.
From what I've seen, it does look good, and it's the same developers that did Dead Island, which got a lot of attention from the advert it did, which I never got, because it was like a CG advert, and CG adverts, it's like, well, I didn't see gameplay, what's the point? But Dead Island was a bit meh. So I'm hoping they've learned their lessons and done something decent with this, but it's definitely a game I need to actually see more of.
I thought it looked really exciting.
You know, it looks much better than Dead Island, but I've played Dead Island, so I can judge that better.
Mm-hmm.
So, but this one, I've definitely got interest in it. I'll keep an eye on it, and hopefully Techland can actually do a good job, because they've made a few games that have all kind of been meh to all right, not bad, but nothing that's really been great or that good. So hopefully they've been finding their feet and now they can knock it out the park.
I think it looked really promising, which is, I think, what upcoming games is all about. So
There's no way, I can't see anything on Amazon about a release date, though.
No.
It's currently sitting about £25 on Amazon for the...
PC.
For the PC, and it's about 41, 49 for the... for the PlayStation 4, but yeah, I can't really see anything even on their website about when it's planned to be released or anything.
They mustn't have announced release date yet.
But you can pre-order it just now anyway. Cool, cheers. Yours was the Destiny beta.
Yeah, I think I've already kind of mentioned Destiny, but we're in a very dry time of year for games in general. Basically Destiny will probably be the next sort of big game releasing. It's September that comes out.
Yeah, I think so.
I was saying to the boys earlier on,
nothing in August, and September is maybe only Destiny, and then October, November, we'll start to get we'll get some games to play eventually.
Yeah.
But yeah, so I've got a Destiny beta. I've got code. I should be getting emailed codes for the PS4 version this week and Xbox One version next week, but I've just realised I'll probably need a PlayStation Plus subscription to play the PlayStation 1, which I don't have. And it's going to cost me like £35 to get that. So I'm wondering, I might just hold off and just play the Xbox One.
Well, you could do a month-to-month thing, so you could just do a month for a fiver or something.
I'm going
to
email Chris a code anyway, so he can at least let us know how it's going, or how much he's spewing anyway. But yeah, I've talked before, but it's a game I'm interested in, but I need to play it to decide if it's worth purchasing. So
yeah, I think I'm going to join the beta as well for that same reason.
So hopefully by next podcast, I shall report back what I make of it.
I was saying to the boys earlier on, I think that looks possibly like the game that, if I had the cash, might have actually persuaded me to go next gen.
Really?
Maybe, but... I haven't got the cash, so it's a moot point.
You could remortgage the house. Amy would never know.
Okay.
cool. What have you been playing this week, Chiz?
Sam's spoken this numerous times before, but I eventually got around to playing The Wolf Among Us. And although Sam has yet to finish the last chapter, or start the last chapter, I've downloaded the first one on Friday, played that Friday night, and then...
You do have the luxury just now of of being able to play games all day, every day.
Though, yeah. So. But I did get around to played chapter 2 and 3 Sunday night, and then finished, and then did 4 and 5 today.
I find it a little bit addictive, actually.
Oh, yeah, no, you have, like, it's like, it is like a TV show that you, like, you watch one episode. Like, if you've got a box set, you can't just sit and watch one, you have to watch probably 5 in a row, yeah, or whatnot. Mm. And because this is probably extra engrossing because you get to make the choices and whatnot. And it does play like a TV show, to be honest, because each episode is roughly the varying lengths, but they're probably at least about 45 minutes long, depending how quickly you get through it. But I think it's fantastic. As I said, it plays much like the Walking Dead season 1, which I played, and I've bought season 2 of that, so I'll need to get around to playing that, which I'll probably do this week. And I'll probably replay The Wolf Among Us, being because I've kind of played it the first way, kind of being nice to everyone and go for, like, if I was really in that situation, how nice would it be? Well, obviously, a far, far braver version of myself.
What's the general plot of Wolf Among Us?
The plot is basically, it's about all the fable, stories and fables are actually true, and all the creatures kind of live in secret in Fable Town, or a part of New York that they call Fable Town.
They had to run away from some unknown evil from their own fairy tale land and ended up in New York.
It's kind of a twist on the Shrek story.
No, because this has been out for longer. It's based on a set of graphic novels that have been out for about, I think, 20 years or something.
So Shrek is a twist in that story.
He always has to asshole up every game.
Yeah, he does. I bought the first graphic novel to read, but I want to play all of the game because this is actually like a prequel to the start of the graphic novels. I'm waiting off to do that.
Yeah, but yeah, so you play as Bigby Wolf, who obviously used to be the Big Bad Wolf. And he's kind of become, I don't know, like, I can assume he's, to make up for his past stuff, he's been charged to being the sheriff, but basically his job to make sure, well, any crimes or whatnot, or basically stop all the fables from destroying each other or getting up to no good and whatnot.
Right, okay.
But so you that play him, it plays a lot like a detective story, and so there's a lot of sort of crime scene things and whatnot, but it's cool.
There's some pretty brutal parts in it as well.
There's swearing, breasts, decapitation, all sorts.
Little Peep's breast.
No.
Oh.
No. No.
Little Mermaid, though.
Yeah.
All right, okay.
Yeah. Kind of the different Little Mermaid. Yeah. The one from, like, the original.
Yeah, Ariel. Not Ariel.
Yeah. The one that has a statue to her in wherever the hell it is.
Amsterdam, is it? Somewhere in Holland,
isn't
it?
I think it's Denmark.
No, you're right, it's Denmark, sorry.
Yeah.
No. That's all the same over there, yeah.
Yeah, Scandinavian-ishness.
Yeah, because Denmark and Holland are both in there.
Yeah. So it's all the same. So kind of Northern Europe. Yeah, you just kind of
group them in with Belgium. It's all the same.
But yeah, highly recommend you check out. It's a good, solid
game. What's it on?
It's on bloody everything.
iOS, PC,
Android.
Android, yeah.
I played it on the Xbox 360. It's cheaper. I noticed it's cheaper than 360 than what it is on Steam at the moment. Steam, it was £19 for all 5 episodes.
I think it's cheapest on
Android, yeah. It's if you get on tablet or phone, but that's probably the cheapest way to get. I'm not entirely sure.
Do you need the gamepad for it? Is the kind of game you need the gamepad
for?
No. Right, okay.
No. But, well, depending on how it plays. Well, Sam's played it. You played it on your tablet, is it?
Mm-hmm.
But, for the 360, I think it was like £3.49 for the first episode. Then I bought a season pass for a tenner, so it's like £13.49 for all 5 episodes.
If you bought the season pass in the first place, though, would you not get the first episode with it?
The way it works, I think you have to buy the season pass once you've got the first episode,
right,
or you don't get access to the season pass unless you've bought it.
Sam, what have you been playing?
I can't remember what it's called. State of Decay, and yeah. We've spoken about that a long, long time ago.
It's good.
Everyone played it on Xbox, and at the time I was living in the bottom end of nowhere and had no internet to be able to download these things. And it came up on a Steam sale, so I grabbed it.
How much for?
Less than a fiver.
£3, I think. Mm. Yeah, it was. It's pretty awesome. I've just got down to the church, hanging around in the first town, raided the veterinary clinic, and then on my way back, hit my first zombie horde, which was unfortunate.
So how many characters have you controlled who have passed away?
I've had one who's died now.
Just the one?
Just the one.
You're not doing too badly. You'll lose more.
No.
are you going to be one of these people that quickly resets your PC before it saves when they die?
No, he's dead now. No, he's dead. But, yeah. Yeah, I really enjoy it.
Yeah.
It's quite really fun little zombie game.
Yeah, and it's one of those rare games where it is like when there's a horde, it is usually in all these games you can kind of just charge in and do what you want, but in this game you can't do that. You basically do have to sneak around, and there's nothing worse when you're inside a house and you're raiding and then a horde comes past the house and detects you. And then if you manage to escape, it's really satisfying if you manage to escape the horde, but it's absolutely kind of like, but it's nerve-wracking because you know, like, the slightest mistake and that guy's dead.
Yeah. So it's like, what was that Wii U one? Zombie U, actually, where you just constantly kind of have you don't ever die as such, your character dies and you start with a new character.
Yeah, but once you meet other characters, like every character you meet in the game, once you gain their trust and become friends with them, he becomes a playable character, so you can change at any point.
Right, okay.
They don't have to be dead, but they'll become tired or lose energy.
Right.
So you take him back home, swap to another person, that guy will get rested up and fed and whatnot, and then you can jump back to him the next day and cool. things like that.
Nice. Cool.
Sorry, just kind of took over talking about your game there.
It's all right. You know more about it.
I've been playing Portal 2. I played Portal 2 and completed it when it first came out, probably about 3-4 years ago now. Can't remember. Must be about 4 years ago when Portal 2 came out. Anyway.
Can't remember.
So I picked it up again. It was something that we were discussing, I think it was a couple of weeks ago on the show. I don't know if it was post-show or whatever. And it just kind of gave me one to play it again. And really enjoying it. And the cool thing about it is, every now and again I'll hit a level that I remember and I kind of know what to do. But I'm quite often hitting a level and going, I have no memory of this level at all. It's quite cool. So it's been that long since I played it that it's nice to go back to.
How about that? We've got bad memory.
It's possible. I've also been playing the multiplayer through with Morgan as well, and she's really enjoying it, which is quite cool.
You were hitting a crack pretty hard, though, 4 years ago, Paul, so...
Mm. It's possible. No, yeah. I just kind of completely zoned down on
that. And we don't actually mean the drug. I mean, he just sniffs people's cracks.
It's yeah.
But I don't know what Portal 2 is kind of sitting at just now, but if you've never played Portal 1 or Portal 2 or either of them, I highly recommend picking those up because they are awesome little games.
Yeah.
Which is better, them as one well. Or two? I played one and I adored
I never
fussed with two.
I think two's better, and it's mainly because it's longer. Portal 1, because it was sort of an add-on to the Orange Box set, it is shorter. It's good, but it's shorter. Two is longer. Stephen Merchant adds an extra kind of storyline to it. Is it the character Wheatley?
Yeah.
Adds an extra storyline.
That was one thing when... I knew the second one, gameplay-wise, would be better, but before it came out, I felt like it's never going to match the sense of humour of the first one, but it does. They're both solidly good, and you'll probably enjoy each just as much as the other, I think.
Yeah. But they're good. I don't know if it still exists, but at the time I bought the PlayStation 3 version, which gave me the PC and Mac version for free.
Yeah.
So that was quite a good buy. So it means that I can jump between the different platforms and stuff.
Like a console whore.
Indeed. And it means that me and Morgan are simply playing on the PlayStation because she's more comfortable with a game controller. But I prefer playing keyboard and mouse when I'm playing the one player, so it's quite nice. So, the other people I just want to mention, just before we move on to our three in the bed challenge this week, is UK2. If you head on over to thebritishtownnetwork.com, click on the sponsors link, you will see all the awesome stuff there that UK2 offer. They can offer you money off domains and VPN, VPSs, and all sorts of other awesome stuff. They really are superb. Their support is really, really good. If you contact them, they'll generally kind of get back to you. And in my experience, go above and beyond and be able to help you out with dozens of different things if you've got different questions about different things. So please head on over to thebritishtownnetwork.com/sponsors and contact the guys over at UK2 and see what they can help you with. Thank you very much. We started a new section last week called Three in the Bed, which Chiz and Sam were not sure that that was actually officially what we're calling it, but I'm calling it that until they come up with something better. So it's called Three in the Bed, and the idea is that you, the listener, send us in a recommendation for a game that we can play, either because it's horrendous or because it's awesome and we've never talked about it, or just because it happens to be in a Steam sale and you think we might like it. Whatever the reason is, it doesn't really matter. It's just if you can send us games. And quite a few of you have already, which we're blown away at, because Sam and Chiz were fairly confident that nobody would send us a game in. So the fact that we've got 8 recommendations so far is pretty
impressive. How many people sent in recommendations within the limits?
Parameters.
Three people sent a game that was under a fiver.
So 5 of you failed.
Actually, I just remembered when you were saying that.
5 of you are...
Right, awesome.
You are right sweary tonight.
It's happening.
I have done it once.
Terry Barriff, who recommended 2 games, Luftrauser and Broforce. Maybe not Broforce, actually. But when he was telling me about it, Luftrauser was on a deal, now that I mentioned it, because it was their birthday or something like that.
We've missed the deal.
That's unfair. Yeah. So, to be fair, we had 4 games that were in that bracket. But
so it's Paul's fault.
It's my fault. I should have done something about that. Anyway. So, this week, just as luck would have it, when we were discussing this new section, Cameron Hall posted a recommendation on the Facebook page, recommending.
I'm going to mention his whole name, so yeah, you can find Cameron Hall on Facebook and send him as much abuse as you want. We'll very much enjoy it.
So he told us that this is one of the best games. I think he actually called it like his favourite game of all time or something ridiculous.
I remember he compared it to like the love levels of Skyrim, Fallout and something else.
Yeah, something like that. But anyway, it's called Realms of the Haunting. We picked it up on Steam. I seem to remember it was just a couple of quid or something like that. All 3 of us have played it. Who wants to start?
How far did we all get?
So I found it very difficult. So I got in a room that was basically attacked by 4 of those big dudes with swords. And roughly that was about the same amount of time that my bullets ran out, and there's a shotgun of the back end of the room. So the idea is, from what I can tell, my bullet ran out killing the first of them. Still had 3 guys kind of coming towards me, and my only option was to try and get round the room to pick up the shotgun and kill them. And
I just used the sword.
So I tried to use the sword and I kept getting killed.
Yeah, I was really rubbish.
Yeah, you have to start the game all over again when you get killed.
Yeah, I played it until I died and then I ditched it.
I think you have to, you save it as you go.
Possibly, I didn't try that.
You know what, I did not mind this game until the bad guys turned up. The video sequence was very amusing.
Yeah, it was. It was actually surprisingly well done, of the game. It was quite clearly actors in it, albeit...
Storyline was pretty mental.
The dialogue wasn't quite as horrific as I thought.
No?
The voice acting in it was all right,
I've seen worse films.
Well, up until his ghost dad appears in it.
I love the ghost dad.
I recognise that guy. Is he like a relatively famous...
It was Patrick Stewart.
Shut up.
It's Prince Philip.
Sorry, I'm just looking for a camera. So, that's him just commenting that we've... give it time, as it's up there with Fallout 3, Half-Life, Skyrim, for me, his best ever game. That was his exact quote.
I'd like to give it time.
I'm sure
I'd like to.
Rose-tinted nostalgic glasses it is.
Yeah.
Playing it in this day and age.
Yeah, it's one of them awkward ones that possibly if you had played it at the time,
it was 1996, and I know it's on the video it started, it came out, so I was going to say, what was out around about that time? I did think Deus Ex, but Deus Ex was 1999, so that's still a wee bit newer, but it's no Deus Ex.
It's a first person. You hold the gun up in front of you, your sword and things like that, and you walk about and you can right click to action things, left click to ask what they are and things like that. There's an awful lot of clicking. The controls I found quite funky. Like, I couldn't find a way to strafe.
No head.
It was one of the first things you came across. I tried to change my keyboard configuration and that failed miserably because I didn't like using up, down, left, right. I wanted to use WSAD.
Yeah.
And I tried to change the keyboard controls and it failed. But that's maybe not a failing with the game. It's maybe a failing with the DOS emulator that Windows 7 runs. But that was a pain in the butt. Because all it did was it disconnected up, down, left, right, but didn't assign those to WSAD, which was annoying.
I found the controls a little awkward.
I
thought before the bad guys turned up, like going around the corridor, it was quite atmospheric. Yeah. It was, and there was a few moments
random
that,
piano noises, which made me think I was going to attacked, but no.
Yeah,
there was random background.
There was a
piano
few
guy going
that
mad.
I thought I was going. Oh, something's coming.
Yep.
Which is quite good to get that feeling from a game of that age.
Yep.
But yeah,
there's no way to skip the cutscene as well. That annoyed me because I died two or three times. So I had to go back to the beginning and I had to watch that damn cutscene like three times, which was really annoying.
I think I only met one guy with a sword. I got a gun, but I never got a shotgun. Maybe I was a kind of idiot.
You clearly hadn't went that far.
No.
It's not that far into it when you get a shotgun.
When you get, because like, I noticed there were snakes and I had to put them in front of a sarcophagus. Mm-hmm. And then I was like too short and I went, right, when the hell is
that?
Yeah,
what happened with the snakes?
You did something different with the snakes than me.
I just picked them all up,
then went through the bookshelf.
There was a door at the bookshelf, was there?
Yeah.
You really didn't spend much time.
I was trying to find these snakes.
Did you get to kill anyone?
Yeah, there was one. I went back at the door, came in, then randomly this guy with a sword came out the ground, so I shot him in the face, and I was like, all right, what now? And I went back to the room, and I found the masks.
Yeah.
Took them off. I thought, right.
The three masks.
Yeah. And I looked around going, where do these go?
So my land was carrying a lot of stuff by the end of it.
And then I noticed the clock, if you set it to 6 o'clock, it opened up.
Yeah.
And then...
Oh, I didn't find
and
that.
And then I was like...
Nothing happened.
Yep. It's like, did I put something in it? It's like, what? Because he said the clock's not working, but it's making a ticking noise. So I thought, maybe I need to open the glass door and shoot.
Did you play the gramophone?
Yeah.
That was kind of creepy.
I switched
screaming baby.
Yeah.
Laughing woman. And yeah.
If you clicked on the bookshelf to the left hand side of the desk where like most of the snakes were, the bookshelf kind of folded open, and then a dude with a sword was behind there, and then he went down. Yeah,
I picked up the shield. I found the shield.
I picked up the shield, and
there was no way to carry the shield and the sword at the same time.
And then I put the shield away, and I never found out how to get the shield back.
One, two, three, four, five.
I never got sword, but I got the gun. I was wanting to use the shield and gun, but I couldn't do that.
Yeah, no,
I thought you had
to hold the shield or the sword or the gun or the shotgun later on when you get it. I couldn't find a way going to my inventory because I realised I'd picked up a couple of potions which I assumed were health potions, but I couldn't get into that.
Yeah, that's where, like, because there was the sarcophagus sitting there, and it says, oh, there's no hinges. And I went, okay. And I thought, I noticed there was one snake sitting in one sort of like circular bit. I picked up the other snakes lying around and went, all right, they all must fit into these circles. But there's like two circles left and I didn't have any more snakes. And I thought, it must be round about the building somewhere, so I'll still find them. So that maybe opens up the sarcophagus, and then you may get, bummed by a mummy.
leaving on a high note there.
Yeah, tick it off my bucket list.
That's always been a dream since watching Bubba Hotep.
I was just talking about Bubba Hotep. I was telling someone about
Thundercats.
Can't believe that movie is. Anyway. Oh dear. Right. Okay. So that was it. Would you recommend it?
If you enjoy what a head injury feels like, then feel free.
Do you know what? I think if you're into retro gaming,
much worse games.
Yeah, definitely. Definitely.
The bargain basement.
I disagree wholeheartedly that it's up there with Fallout 3 and Half-Life.
Oh, no.
I think if you'd played it and loved it when it came out or a couple of years after, it could have been.
Mm.
But in the same way that I absolutely love Fallout 2.
Mm.
But I think if a lot of people went back and played that now,
fair point.
Wouldn't like it.
Yeah.
Even though it is exceptional and the humour is unsurpassed.
Yeah. Well, I'm like that with the original Mario Brothers games.
Yeah.
And I imagine people think differently.
Yeah, me.
Also because it's Cameron, it's physically impossible for me to praise it at all.
Indeed. grand. So next week, we've had about 8 game recommendations. Please feel free to chuck more recommendations in. We're not going to do it in a kind of chronological order, so don't feel like you're not going to hear your game for 4 weeks. To be honest, the way we were going to do it is we're just going to read the list and have a look at the games and decide which ones
the prices.
And check the prices. Check which ones we actually want to play. Because it may be that some weeks, some of the games are on Steam sale or GOG or something like that. So,
or unless you want to buy it for us.
If there's a more expensive game, that you really want to hear me bitch about because I failed, Cheers bitch about because it was too easy, and Paul give it 20 minutes because that's all his attention span lasted, then you have to buy it for us.
20 minutes is generous.
Yeah, yeah. Buy it for us. Or if you're the publisher or something like that, please send us a download code or something. Anyway.
Especially if somebody sends free games.
Yeah, I know. This week, Peter Smith kindly sent in 2 recommendations, so we're going to take one of them last week, and it's called World of Tanks Blitz.
Because it's free to play.
Because it's free to play. Yeah, exactly.
That's how cheap we are.
So look forward to having a go with that, and we'll review that in the next show.
Yeah, it's big in Russia, so let's see if the Russians are right.
Yes. Grant. It was the Bash this weekend, just this weekend past. So if you missed it, tough. However, we are planning, you will have heard us, if you're a long-term listener, we do a Christmas quiz every year. And generally, we just kind of open it out to just kind of folk that have been on the show and stuff like that. But this year, we're going to hire a hall and probably just have people there that we know because nobody else will come. But if you want to come, you are going to be more than welcome. We are probably just going to set up a couple of games consoles and projectors, have a few beers and things like that. Just generally have a bit of a laugh, have a bit of gaming. We'll probably take the Wii U, so we'll have Mario Kart and set up a 360 or maybe a PlayStation or something like that and have some Halo or something like that. And we'll just a bit of a good old day. We'll do the quiz as well, which you'll be able to join in on. It should be good fun. So if you want to come along to that, we will be putting the tickets up on BritishTechNetwork.com soon, which you'll be able to buy. It'll not be anywhere near as expensive as the Birmingham one, mainly because it's going to be in Tweed Bank, and the whole hire is a fraction of the cost.
That's right. Just putting it out there, to save people who haven't listened to the Christmas episodes before, we just sit around stone cold sober. It's really quiet. It's really boring. All of our friends are ass bags. Don't come. You will hate it. There is no booze. It's not fun. Shiz is there. There's no reason to come.
And it has to be cheap because we realise the standard of our listeners are basically bums on buses. So.
Crazy Dave.
Yeah.
Oh, dear. So if you've not been completely insulted by what she's just said there and you want to come along, tickets will be available soon. It'd be great to see you if you can make
we'll
it
make
along.
You dance.
And we'll even help you. The dress code is as tramp-like as you can manage.
We will probably do a quiz, as I say, and all the other things, and then we'll go out for a curry afterwards.
I would highly recommend if Chiz asks you to squeal, squeal. Squeal like a piggy.
The other thing I mentioned is Patreon, patreon.com/BritishTechNetwork. If you feel that the show is worth it, please chuck us some cash there.
Not just the show, the network.
The whole network's worth it.
We're the flagship that's very quickly sinking. The rest of the show is the only thing keeping us afloat.
If you like anything on the network, please consider heading over to patreon.com/BritishTechNetwork and chuck us even a dollar, 60 pence basically, with exchange rate. And if you feel that what you get out of the network is worth 60 pence, then please chuck us something. If you can't afford it or don't want to, that's also cool. Not a problem. We are going to be taking this show on the road, as it were. We're going to be taking this show to live video with a chat room and possibly doing a video stream, well, almost definitely doing a video stream at some point in the future. And the lights have arrived that we need to light the green screen.
Is that what that is?
Yeah. And so they've been bought with the Patreon money. It was very kind of you people to be throwing us that money so we can set up the Northern Studio. So we'll be able to go live. Our green screen will all work.
Referred to as the Northern Studio.
Yeah, I was just going to say, is that what we are?
Well, the Northern Studio.
Hold us porn on the side.
Coming from the sex shanty hut.
Do not talk about Ed's house like that.
So, Ed, if you want to come, just let us know. You can.
Actually, oh yeah, Ed should totally come.
Yeah, you should totally come.
It is right now. Let's not go there.
Sam literally will let you sleep in his shed. Even if we joke about that, but he could put a mattress.
There has been a bed set up for you since I bought the house.
It is at the foot of Sam's bed, but he might move it out to the shed for the...
No, it's sharing my bed.
All right, okay, yeah. Anyway, so yeah, that's Patreon and stuff. That's basically the show. If you want to get in touch with us, please email us britishtechnetwork@gmail.com, or you can tweet at britishtech, or you can tweet me at Paul Wheatley. Please come over to the Facebook page and like us there. There's a big community kind of goes on there. Lots of folk kind of post stuff, and now and again, Leeches and Sam have a bit of kind of dabble with it now and again, but it's fairly running itself at the moment. I notice quite a few people are kind of commenting on things for other people, so we don't actually have to bother anymore, no. Which is quite nice. There's also a Google Plus community, but yeah, we never look at that. But you know, like it there if you want.
Actually, I have looked at it.
Have you?
Kind of laughed and then closed it down again.
Because nobody's there.
No.
Well, Chris occasionally posts stuff there.
Does he?
Yeah. Well, the last time I looked, Chris was the last person to post something.
I think that was months and months.
Possibly ago. Even a year ago.
Yeah.
Anyway, there you go. So that's it. We will see you in 2 weeks. I have just realised something. I might have to just double check. No. Oh, no. Sorry. Programming note. We will not be recording in 2 weeks. I've not actually told you guys this because I'm moving on the weekend immediately after the next show. The office will basically be packed up because I have to pack at the weekends, and we always record this on a Monday night. So we won't be recording on the 28th.
Unless we did something wild, like record on the Friday or something.
That's a fair point. Okay, we may put a show out that weekend if we can sort of...
If we can be asked,
yeah, we will
scrape together the crap from the bottom of the barrel and bung it out on the air.
Yeah, so we'll try...
How about you actually craft together a best of podcast? What they do to feed
mid-season? I'm saying that I can't do this because I'm having to pack my office up because I'm moving house. But you think I've got time to go and listen to
it? Friday.
All like 60 of our 55 of our previous episodes to try and find the best of.
Yeah.
I do not have time to do that.
If anyone out there has got the time to do that, I don't. I'm sure you could... Find.
Actually, to be fair, doing a best of our show probably wouldn't take that long at all.
Hang on. If anyone's got the time out work. There to do that, just top yourself now.
Nice.
On that happy note, oblivion.
Yeah. On that happy note, we will hopefully see you in a couple of weeks. But if not, we'll see you in 4 weeks. Good night.
Ciao. Ball bags.
Bum chins.
Ass verrucas.
That man has chin balls.
Oh, gibbon cock.
About 1 inch?
Gibbon cock's massive.
Is it?
Yeah.
Right.
It's huge. It's at least 6 or 7 feet.
Really?
That's bigger than any gibbon. That's whales again.
Yeah, yeah. They do kind of look like gibbons.
Can we graft a whale cock onto a gibbon? Just to see it roar.
No, just to see it wake up from being anesthetized. They're going,
oh, beautiful times.
And then watch it proceed and try and fight other aggressive males for a bit. It just had to crush them.
Drop its gigantic penile. Okay. Smashing. I wonder if the hooks, like dolphins' penises, are.
And get like a branch of peanut butter to have to coax a female.
There was a thing I was watching, reading an article on, and people like swim with the dolphins because dolphins have got muckle cocks, and they swim with the dolphins and get the dolphin excited and get on it. Women and men.
What?
Yeah, true thing. True thing.
Okay.
But dolphin cocks have got hooks on, so they get stuck in you really bad. So drowned having been rogered by a dolphin.
On that happy note, I think I'm just going to stop recording now.
Oh, you're still recording, are we?